could turn the Bible to book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18. Book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18. The verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The second portion from book of Esther, chapter 4. Book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Susan, and fast you for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Okay, let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your visitation. Thank you so much, God, that you are in our midst. Thank you, Lord, you have prepared your people to hear your word, which is going to come from your mouth, Lord. Thank you. We want to listen to you. Speak to us, God. Thank you. We praise you. We worship you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Pastor Benny read the Bible portion which I was preparing without looking at my notes. Okay, so it's a beautiful verse. When I read the verse, always I go through the versions to understand or to elaborate the words. The different translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Beautiful version, right? When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Where there is no vision or redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Okay, you know what I want to say here? It's a beautiful thing. Book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 guarantees that when we come to church, when we are going to meet one another, there is going to be a instruction precisely going to be given to us. That's what the Bible explains to us. So as we are here, God is going to speak to us. God is going to correct our thinking. God is going to instruct us precisely so that we can walk. Okay, so as I remember, in my village, I know how to ride bullock cart. Okay, when my uncle was teaching me, the oxen were bigger than me. So they are so big. Then as my uncle is sitting behind me, he told me, touch here, the oxen will turn to the right. Touch this part, the oxen will turn to the left. Imagine such a big oxen turns because I'm just touching on the correct spot. Meaning, there are tremendous energy and strength for the oxen, but that is guided by me. Similarly, when we are become a believer, when we are going to become a believer, God begins to do work in us, going to guide us precisely in a beautiful way. I will explain to you clearly now. Before I get into that, where there is no vision, people perish, right? I would want to say here, where there is no vision, your believer or disciple going to perish. I will explain to you once again. Say, I am a believer, I am preaching to the people. If I don't have a vision, the people are going to perish. Without hearing the gospel, they are going to perish. If I don't have a vision, forget about the people, I myself going to perish. You understand what I'm trying to say? Forget about the people, they're secondary. I myself, spiritually, I am going to perish as I'm living here, spiritual death. I'm going to lose all the rewards in the Bema seat. That is a way the devil wants us to perish experientially on this earth. That's what the Proverbs 29 verse 18 explains to us. By the way, I want to remember you that, remind you that there are many faces here in our church. This is not the new church as many other churches you might have come across. This is the unique church which is sending missionary to the fields. I want to remind you that all of you, this is the church sending a missionary. Many missionaries have gone out, planted the church, and many missionaries are yet to be gone out from here. That is a church we belong to. We are not some other church. There are many churches. They are there, settled down very well, but we are not in that way. We are the one who, there is a vision planted in our hearts. The heritage of the ministry is inbuilt in our heart, that we are running with the vision to seek and save which was lost. By which, why Jesus Christ came here, Luke chapter 19 verse 10, Jesus says, I came primarily to seek and save the lost. Not any other vision by which Jesus Christ came here. If not that he came to seek and save the lost, he would not have come down here. That's a primary reason why he came here. The same mission is in this ministry. This church is running towards that vision. With vision we are running. Okay, so that we would be a victorious individual on this year. Okay, so us, we are born again. We believed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saved us from our sins. And he gave us heaven as a free gift. And we know that we are going to go to heaven. We know that we are on the way to heaven. As we believed in Christ, book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. Book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 says, the moment we hear the word, when we believed in the word which was preached to us by the man of God, the Holy Spirit going to work effectually. The Holy Spirit going to work effectually. The effectually works. The Greek word is energeo. We all know the word energeo, but I found some beautiful thing here. When I split the word into two, en plus ergon. En, ergon. Ergon means we know work. En, in. English word in. The moment we believed in the word, it is going to work within. It's going to work within or to be operative. And I stolen the definition from Dr. Stevens' booklet. He says energeo means God operates now from channel B, the human spirit, going down into the five parts of the soul where it operates through the Holy Spirit with our volitional cooperation and consent. We all know channel A and B and C, right? Channel A is the perceptive lobe mind and channel B is the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, where the word of God is residing or dwelling, and then it converts into channel C, that is soul, that is to be operative. Okay, now the moment we hear the word from the pulpit or from anywhere, the word, the Holy Spirit is going to take the word to be an operative in us, meaning there is a divine enablement available to a believer. That's what I want to say. There is a divine enablement available for a believer, whoever hears the word, as if it is from God. That's a guarantee that there is a divine enablement going to be with us. Same time, we need divine guidance. Divine enablement is for sure for any believer. The moment you yield to the Holy Spirit, divine enablement is available. At the same time, divine guidance is also very, very, very much necessary, because the devil want you and me to run without vision. He has no problem for us to run. Yes, we come to the Bible school, we study Bible, meditate and do everything, but without vision. Meaning the horse is running without getting trained. It runs in the forest. For what? For nothing, isn't it? Forest, the horse runs from one end to another end for what? No use. But if the same horse is trained by the master, then the horse can be useful. It's tremendously. Tremendously. It's beautiful the way it runs with the master, because the master is going to fulfill certain fulfillment. Isn't it? So, but the devil doesn't bother us hearing the word, but he does so much bother that we are going to fulfill the vision which was handed down to us. Just remember that, okay? He is very jealous that this is the ministry runs toward the vision. He's very jealous, but God says, my dear son, I will take care of the enablement. Same time, come under me. I will guide you, divine guidance, so that you would not run wild. You would accept the divine guidance. Where it is going to come from? It is from the pulpit, from the man of God, from the Holy Spirit, from the word of God. Not apart from this. The devil says, sit at home and read your Bible and God. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. But the same Bible speaks. There is a pastor and teachers given to us. For what? To minister to us so that we would be guided divinely, so that this divine enablement is going to be appropriated wonderfully for the kingdom of God. It would not be wasted, the energy and strength which is already in us, because the energeo worked within us. Because we consent to the volition, we consent to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enabling us. Okay, so as I'm going to close, why we are given a vision to accomplish? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Luke chapter 24, verse 47 to 48, John chapter 20, verse 20 to 22, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is five times Great Commission is given to us in the Bible. Great Commission given to us. Go you therefore and preach the gospel, preach and teach and disciple them. That is the vision given to us. This is what ultimately God wants us to accomplish as a ministry, as an individual. Never ever forget that. So that's the way it is. Now, so as we go back to the illustration, as we read Book of Esther chapter 4 verse 11 and 16, Esther says, I am given a vision to save my people. I don't mind me perishing, but I don't want my people to perish. Esther says, if I perish here physically, I perish, I don't want my people to perish. You understand what Esther says? Esther says, I don't mind perishing here. I don't want to perish experientially here so that I would miss out the great vision which is given to me by Mordecai. Isn't it? That is the vision that Esther had. Esther says, if I perish, I perish. Who cares? Because anyway, I'm going to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in heaven. Jesus is going to say, well done, my faithful servant. Please come. He's going to give us a hug and receive us in heaven. What's a big deal? That's what Esther says. If I perish, I perish. Because the vision is sustaining our lives on this earth, governing us in every way, every details of life. God is concerned about our details of life. Yes, it is. Same time, he does not want us to forget the vision which is planted in our hearts. Because you and me, we are not going to be excused if you are in this ministry. You are not going to be excused. Because we know how to preach the gospel. We know there is a mission field. We know missionaries are gone out. And we are here to preach and seek and save the lost. By what reason? Why Jesus Christ came here to seek and save the lost? So as I close now. Devil wants to make us not worthless, but profitless in the kingdom of God. Imagine, it's beautiful. Devil wants us to make us not worthless because we are so worthy by the grace of God. That is the way God looks at us. But as we run from the salvation till we die, he wants us to make us profitless in the kingdom of God so that God would not use us. Why? We just don't want to come under the divine guidance which is given from this pulpit, from the Holy Spirit, from the word of God. So God wants us to use to the fullest level, and he is ready to receive us in heaven one day. So keep the vision alive in, and keep away the familiarity spirit which can creep in us Word of God deposits us knowledge alone, which would lead us into spiritual death, if not now, later. I'll read it once again. Keep the vision alive in, and keep away the familiarity spirit which can creep in, as Word of God deposits us knowledge alone, which would lead us into spiritual death, if not now, later. Many people say that, yes, I also did outreach once upon a time. Because they are familiar to the preaching of the gospel, the vision was given to them. They were familiar. So what I would want to say very carefully here, please don't ever be familiar with what is happening in this ministry. Ultimate goal, ultimate vision to seek and save the lost. Not ultimate goal is we are trying to go to heaven by doing these things. No. We are going to heaven as a result of it. We are preaching the gospel. Isn't it? So don't ever be familiar with this. Preach as much as possible. As God leads you, don't beat yourself. As let Holy Spirit guide you to preach the gospel. That is a vision given to us, because if we don't have a vision, we are going to perish. Remember that. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 says, stir up the gift of God which is in you. You know, as we are coming to church, you know what we are doing? We are stirring one another. We are putting fire into their fuel. We are putting fuel into their fire. Okay, so we are stirring one another. We are sharing. We are building one another. That's the way we are. So Paul says, I remember what Dr. Stephen said, stir up the gift of God. He shouts like that. Stir up the gift of God. That's what I want to say. So we all have a gift given by the Holy Spirit. So let us stir one another up and keep the vision alive. Keep the vision alive ever. Okay, let the vision should not die actually. So that's the way I want to encourage all of you. So this is the way God wants us to listen and walk with a vision as a living church, not a dead Orthodox church in this Bangalore. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, God, for beautiful vision. Thank you, Lord, for the heritage of the ministry. Thank you so much, God, that you came primarily to seek and save the lost. And thank you, Lord, you are transferring the passion for the lost into our soul, so that the channel C be working in us, Lord, that we would walk out and preach your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for the beautiful ministry given to us. Help us to know, Lord, whom we are belongs to, and what is the thing, heritage that given handed down to us, Lord. Be with us, God. Continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.